Welcome to the SCMS Classical Conversation Podcast, recorded in the new Center for Chamber Music during the Seattle Chamber Music Society's 2020 Virtual Summer Festival. I'm Dave Beck from Classical King FM. I hope you enjoy these in-depth conversations with festival musicians. You can find more episodes at seattlechambermusic.org and most podcasting platforms. Please rate and review us wherever you listen. Playing solo Bach on the patio of her Santa Barbara, California apartment was a profoundly healing experience for Seattle Chamber Music Society cellist Ani Aznavourian. In part three of our podcast from the SCMS Summer 2020 Virtual Festival, Ani talks about the despair she felt when the pandemic forced cancellation of so many performances. But she found the will to play again after her neighbors responded so joyfully to her impromptu concert. Ani shares how her embrace of new technologies is part of her new resolve to make music despite difficult circumstances. What's life been like prior in quarantine? I mean, what?
I'm happy to talk about that because, gosh, I had such a low when it first happened. So mid-March, the world started crumbling, literally. And I was angry. I was so angry at being part of a profession that was so fragile, that could just, I mean, other people I knew were still able to work remotely. But music just essentially died. I mean, it didn't, but live concerts did. Yeah. Concerts died.
Absolutely.
For several months, and still in this country, it's still going on. So, and even countries where it's better, it's still not even close to what it used to be. So, so I was angry, and then it even went beyond coronavirus. It even went like, well, not only can it fall apart for the virus, but even if I just fall and break my hand, it's done for me. You know, I just had this anger for weeks, and I didn't want to even open my case. I was so mad. And then one day I was kind of looking at my case, and I live in a small apartment complex with only two other apartments, and I knew that my neighbors weren't home. And there's one person across the way from me, and she's an older lady who almost never comes out of her apartment, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna play just a few notes out on my balcony. It's a beautiful day in sunny Santa Barbara, which is pretty much every day. But I don't know, for some reason it struck me. I feel like I need to move my fingers. It's been quite a while. So I went out on my patio and I played for about 10 minutes, mostly some Bach. And I got up to put my cello away. And then I heard in the way distance, I looked over, I saw in a patio really far away, somewhere where I assumed there was no way they would be able to hear me, this couple, they were shouting and clapping. and I blew them some kisses, and I went inside and put my cello away. And then I just started sobbing. I don't know, for a couple hours. It was like suddenly the love and the will to keep it going and for it to come back and how much I missed it. It all just was overwhelming in that one moment, just from that one couple clapping and being so happy to hear live music, even just for 5 minutes. It just made me cry, and that was the turning point for me. So from that point on, I've just been happy to play and playing for my enjoyment. And I had an acquaintance from Juilliard contact me. She said, "Ani, I'm starting a virtual orchestra. Are you set up to record?" And I'm thinking to myself, gosh, I'm so not set up to record, but I really have nothing else to do right now. So of course I'm like, yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm almost set up. I'm working on it. So immediately I'm calling my friends. What should I order? I didn't know anything about recording from home. especially she needed me to have fine equipment. So I was asking friends that I knew were doing some recording work, and so I'm madly ordering from Amazon. And this was in the early days of COVID, where Amazon was a little bit behind on their delivery.
Yeah.
And so so I couldn't get my equipment in time for the first deadline of a recording. But I knew that I had to get it done, so I went to a recording studio. It was just madness. For like 2 weeks, I think I lost sleep over this whole learning how to record from home process. Learning about microphones, learning about audio interfaces. I didn't know what an audio interface was 4 months ago. So it's been a real learning curve, and learning how to use Pro Tools. My brain doesn't work that way. So it's been a huge learning curve, but I've been part of this orchestra called the Unison Orchestra, and we've been recording for a big show coming out on HBO next month.
Wow.
So that's been keeping me busy. I've really been enjoying that completely different side of music that I never dreamed would be part of my life. And I have to say, it's sort of a source of pride for me that I did it. I learned how to use Pro Tools. I'm doing it. I'm recording from home. And, you know, every time I do it, I'm like, this is kind of cool.
So I wonder if, you know, when you sit down with the delicious food here at the Seattle Chamber Music Society with your colleagues, and you have these conversations about what's it look going forward. I mean, does a story like that give you hope, or we don't want to have to gone through this, and you know, there's so many terrible things about it. But I mean, is it shaking us up that we're going to go forward in maybe a different way with a different mindset or different tools?
I think some things will certainly carry over. I mean, right now we're all in the same boat. It's like musicians, no matter at what level, you know, that even the highest level, we're all in the same boat. It's just a big mystery. We have no idea what's coming, but I do think some good will come out of this. The knowledge, how to record from home, how to adjust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Being nimble, making things happen in one way or another. It's been interesting to watch how different people have managed it.
Mm-hmm. Is this Unison Orchestra, is this something that's out there now for the public to see, or until the...
Well, it's all still virtual. So we send in our tracks to an engineer in LA, and he puts it all together, and he says it sounds great. And you know what? I was thinking about it. I was like, it probably does really sound great, because everybody's recording themselves, so they're really making sure it's perfect before they send in their tracks. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're recording in a live studio with a little, you know, if you're out of tune on a note, it can hide amongst the section.
Yeah.
But when you're sending in your individual part, you can't have anything out of
tune.
So I think I'm sure it sounds better than it usually does.
I just saw something on Instagram. It was from the Minnesota Orchestra, and it was a violinist that was doing the Elgar Pomp and Circumstance, of all things. And she was using it as a way to teach violinists how to practice. And she was like, she said, these are things that go very high on the G string, so I have this tone generator, and I have to get my intonation just perfect. And I just was, that's what you're talking about. It's like, we have to focus on our own part to such an extent.
Right.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know what the future is. And then I think, okay, well, this show was recorded. The actors were filmed before COVID. So this is sort of post-production stuff. I'm like, well, is there going to be another show that comes in now? Again, I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen after I'm done with this, all the episodes of this show. I'm hoping more stuff comes in, but I don't know, because our new show is being produced right now. Yeah. I'm not so,
so
sure.
Interesting. So you were, there's some Mozart this summer, Borodin, Dokdani here at the festival.
Mm-hmm. Schubert Trio, Dvorak Trio.
I was able to sit in on your rehearsal with Schubert the other day, which sounded beautiful.
Thank you. Oh, and, so, yeah, 5 big pieces over the last 10 days. So,
are these all revisiting the repertoire or new things for you?
They were revisited except for the Borodin string quartet number 2. I don't really know that many quartets because I'm not part of a regular quartet. I never have been part of a regular quartet. And when I go to play at music festivals, they usually don't program quartets because they'll hire preformed quartets to play that repertoire because it's quartets sort of a different beast.
Yeah.
So,
I can't wait to hear you play that because that is such a great cello.
Oh, it's a really great cello.
Yeah.
The first and third movement openings.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
It's such a lovely quartet. Yeah. And certain quartets are able to kind of come together and put together quickly. This one worked.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it doesn't hurt that I was playing with who I was playing with.
That's
with whom.
Yes, you have some
very, very fine colleagues.
I want to, just in closing here, I want to just let people know that you have some beautiful recording projects, both already done and in the works. And I think you said to me that you're working on a project that is celebrating your Armenian heritage.
Yes. My sister is a pianist, and we went to Armenia for the first time about a year and a half ago. And we had never been there. And we were so taken with the people and just the way they embraced us. We performed a concert there. It was just went over so well. And we just fell in love with, I mean, we grew up with a very strong Armenian feeling, but just to be there was a different story. And while we were there, we tried to get as much music as we could.
Mm.
So we came home with a stack of sheet music, of mostly living Armenian composers. And so we're in the process of sorting through that pile, and we'll record some of that. We'll record some of things that are already known, And it's sort of a very special thing for us.
Absolutely. And the timetable is still to be determined.
Yeah, maybe next summer is what we're talking about.
Yeah, good. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope you come back to Seattle and we can
we can
listen to that
and
chat again. I really appreciate your time, Ani.
Thank you. So nice to be here. Thank you.
Ani Aznavourian is our guest, bringing this latest Classical Conversations podcast to an end. You can find this program and our entire series online at seattlechambermusic.org. Subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. The SCMS Virtual Summer Festival continuing online and on demand through August 17th, 2020. Our engineer is Bill Levy. Program assistants from Rachel Saprati and Seneca Garber. James Ennis, the artistic director. Connie Cooper, the executive director of the Seattle Chamber Music Society. I'm Dave Beck from Classical King FM 98.1. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Classical Conversation Podcast. The podcast is a co-production of Seattle Chamber Music Society and Classical King FM. Bill Levy is our recording engineer. You can find more episodes at seattlechambermusic.org and most podcasting platforms. Please rate and review us when you listen. The podcast is produced by Nikhil Sarma and Rachel Saprati. To learn more, go to seattlechambermusic.org. I'm Dave Beck.